everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EuroHoop Pod, EuroHoop's official podcast. I'm Antonis Strogilakis. As always, I'm joined by my great colleague, Cesare Milanti, and we have someone really, really special with us today, a bona fide European basketball legend. Honestly, the list of team titles and individual titles is enormous. I will just mention the major ones. He's been a EuroLeague champion. He's been a Korać Cup champion. He's been a Spanish League champion many times. He's won the Eurobasket three times. He's been a silver medalist in the Olympic Games. He's been a world champion with the Serbian national team. And he's won several medals as a head coach, because these titles are what he won as a player. He's won several medals with the Serbian national team as a coach, the silver in the Olympic Games, the silver in the World Cup, and the silver in the Eurobasket. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know him, Sasa Djordjevic. Coach, thank you for being with us.
Hello, thank you for having me. Hello, everybody.
So, and what I didn't mention, of course, is that you are currently the coach of the Chinese basketball team. You've been with them in the World Cup.
Yeah,
the Chinese national team. We're going to talk about it later. But what I'm wondering now, and this is how I'd like to start, is you are not coaching right now. You are not coaching a club right now. Do you miss it?
Well, I think everybody in his profession, once you don't do it every day, you're missing it. But I'm very focused in my current job as a head coach of a national team of China. And to tell you the truth, I'm very busy, because every day I receive at least five games that are played in China, and I watch them. So that's what I've been doing this whole morning, and checking the shape of the players that are already on my list, checking some new names, always watching and following, and being in touch with the federation, and of course with all the players. So I don't believe that that you can stop coaching. Even now, you asked me to join this talk as a coach. So our head is always working. So yes, I do miss a club, but on the other hand, I'm very, very happy with the choice that I made, and very focused in a current situation with a China national team.
And I remember, Coach, listening to one conversation you had with my Italian friends in Area 52 last season. And you said, a coach always works. Like, every day I'm working, as you just said. So can you drive us through what are your activities daily with the national team, other than like watching games? Do you have some other kind of stuff that you're particularly focused on?
No, actually, since all the players are playing in Chinese League, only we have under 19 point guard that actually is on a Varese roster.
Yeah.
I'm trying since wake up since 8 o'clock to keep in touch with my assistants, check the games that we have downloaded, and then lately just go through it. Right now they are six hours ahead of us. So this would be the time when I stop daily contact with some of the assistants or my team over there in China, if I have any questions or something to add, or if they have any news. So basically that's regarding the Chinese players that I love to follow. I love to be keep in touch with them. That's what I always did, and I believe in that part of the coaching job, that the personal relationship is very, very important, especially with the players right now. And since we have the means to do it, we are doing it.
Of course.
Each message is precious, so we're just doing that. Of course, I'm following European basketball, NBA basketball, EuroLeague, EuroCup, BCL, and national competitions anywhere I can get satellites. It always on, in my home, so you know, every game that you can watch, you can learn something, you can see something new, you can check how your colleagues work, you can check the development of the players that you like to follow or the teams. So basically, as what I said to your colleagues, it is truth. The coach never stops. You always try to upgrade your opinion, your vision of basketball. So that's it. Yeah, of course, the floor, the wood, the parquet is missing.
The court, yeah.
Yeah, court is missing. But on the other hand, you know, that's the choice. So we just go for it.
Yeah.
You said, Coach, that this was a choice. So I'm assuming that there weren't any conversations or offers by any club, something that perhaps you could combine with the work that you are doing for the Chinese national team.
Was that a question or your consideration?
Yes, no, I assume. Okay.
Coming from Greece, because
you said that it was a choice.
From Greece, I understand the kind of question that you would like me to answer, but you said it as a consideration, so I would just, you know, cross my hands.
I'm now crossing my hands and asking the question. Did you have any conversations with clubs? Something that you can combine with China?
I'm a head coach of China, and I'm very serious in that question right now. I'm head coaching that, but you know, the contacts and the daily basis talks are coming, but of course nothing concrete, nothing that is regarding your question, because I believe that you cannot do professionally your job looking for something else. You have to focus in what you have right now, and I'm very, very focused in how to develop the national team, how to develop the, you know, a little bit the level of basketball that we can try to raise up a little bit and be more competitive on the international level, and that's what me and Yao especially, we're very focused in that, and then we're gonna try to do it, you know, bringing some new faces, and that's my job right now.
I'm really surprised that you remember the way that most of us in Greece ask our questions.
Of course.
Making a statement, and then expect the other person to answer.
Listen, years are passing by. Age is coming up strong. But, you know, we have to keep our mind and our ears very open and careful, so we know how to defend ourselves.
All right.
I'm just kidding. I know the curiosity of media is always there, and we do appreciate it in a sense, because if it wasn't, it's meaning that you know, you're not good enough, but you know, it's okay. Good try, Anton.
Thanks.
Okay, Coach, just to touching a little bit more on the Chinese national team, talking about the World Cup, there were some high hopes about the potentiality, the performances of China in the World Cup. Of course, we know the results. But one question that struck me and Anton is, when thinking about preparing this podcast, was like, China is so huge, you know, there are tons of people, tons of land, enormous interest in basketball.
China.
Yeah, as we saw in decades. So we know you've been there only for a limited period of time, but what do you see is the problem in producing players and talent eventually in the country?
Well, it's a very complex question. I would love to talk about positive stuff, not about the problems, but I don't think that the podcast could be a good place to start talking about problems. One thing they have is their rules. They play 48-minute game. This is something that I've been following the games and following the way the game is played. I believe that's something that can be changed and that can help the players and the coaches towards getting used to the international way of playing, not to say European, because obviously Europe is dominating the world basketball right now. I'm not saying it underline the I'm just saying it to underline the one more than 130 players in NBA right now, and some of the biggest stars like Adetokounmpo, Jokic, and Luka Doncic being the best players right now in NBA, together with their great American stars, and the way they played the last two World Cups and being away from the podium is showing that the how the basketball is developing. It's developing in a huge speed and in a way that right now, after 3 years of pandemic way of living in China, where they managed somehow to play basketball, but until the end of the last year's season, they didn't have the fans inside. Only in the playoffs, they were allowing, I believe, 80% of occupancy of the gym. So it was very, very difficult for them, for the players, for everybody to stay focused, to develop their game, to get adapted to everything that is getting like the big changes all around the world, and you can feel it. So we focused this year, this summer, on organizing a lot of games against strong European teams like Germany, Serbia, Slovenia, among the others, Italy. And nevertheless, we lost. We had really a good feedback from the organization, from the federation, from the players themselves, because they know they need it. They know they need to compete against the best teams in order to grow.
Yeah.
And that's something that China, due to its geographic
the position,
enormous land, they're not allowed during the year to go and play some kind of a European competition parallel with their competition, and they're very focused on playing always against themselves during the year. And you can understand that this is, until certain point, it can develop you as an organization, as a team, as a game itself, or as a players, but you need to compete against the better ones in order to get better. So this is the focus that we will try to get in the next summer. Of course, we unfortunately didn't do well in a World Cup. That's the truth. We had some injuries for the last three games. We played without our captain and starter on a four position. Very experienced player that we felt his absence a lot. We have some young roster. I put some very young players like 19-year-old Su Yongxi, who was, after February window last year, he blossomed and his game raised up that he was the rookie of the year in CBA. But him also, and not only him, all of them, they need to compete against the better ones, against the other teams, against the other basketball. And that's something that we must focus and we must get to it. And 48-minute game, I want to go back to that. That's something that, in my opinion, I already spoke publicly in China. It can be changed because there is not such a quality. The only country that has an individual player's quality, both technically, physically, and tactically, to play 48-minute game is NBA.
Yeah,
and we have to leave it there, because all the best players are there and they can be played and pushed till the levels that game is requesting. The bodies, the mind, above all, and everything. And playing 48 games, once you're tired or you don't have the physicity to maintain the 35, 36 minutes average in one game, that there are no players in Europe that are playing this many minutes. Not any, I don't think, that are playing more than 30 minutes average in none of the EuroLeague teams, let's say 25, 26 minutes. And that's the game that is played with maximum focus on each and every possession, each and every second, each and every angle of the pick, timing of the pick, spacing on this, small fouls, bonus fouls, smart fouls, getting into a bonus with four fouls, not with on a sixth, like in 12-minute quarter, and all that individual tactic that is needed to play this kind of a game.
Yeah.
So this is something, and due to only allowed one foreigner, one import player during the game in China, a lot of times, most of the time, the ball just go to that import player, and he's just creating and doing his stuff, and a lot of time, you know, shot selection is not the right one. Some other players are just, you know, spectators maybe in the game, not developing their own sense for the game each and every second on the floor, because that is very important. How to give your energy and your game to the team in certain amount of minutes. You have to have your role. You have to make your team feel your presence on the floor. And this is what 48-minute game is taking away a little bit of Chinese players, because a lot of time they're just physically there, but they're not thinking about reading, about mismatches, about situations that they have to recognize in a switching, in a traps, in a mismatch, in a, you know, or overuse of a dribble, which is another thing that the Chinese basketball has, and then you have to start teaching the importance of passing game, of keeping the ball as less as you can in your hands, you know, and stuff like that. So it's a process that needs time, needs teaching, needs changing. And like I like to say, you cannot just change the stick of the broom and you think the broom is going to be better because you change the stick. Yeah, no, you have to change the whole system, how you're sweeping the floor, and that's something that I took as a challenge personally. The truth is, I have this another year of the contract. We'll see what the federation will decide, what my decisions are going to be. But as always, I'm working wherever I am, as I'm going to be there for the next 10 years, because that's what my masters taught me. The old coaches, they always say, you just work in wherever you are, as you have to be there for 10 years, and you have to leave it better than it was before you. So that's what coaching a little bit in a global way is. So I can talk a lot about this, because I'm thinking a lot about that, about Chinese players, how to help them, how to make them understand. The language is also a problem, because not all of them speak English, and translation in the moment when you also tough. With the gestures or energy, or you raise a voice or your low voice, you have to transmit to the group, to the players. Something is lost in translation. Sometimes it's lost in translation. So that's also something that I would love Chinese young players, above all, to start learning English, because English is basketball language anywhere. Yeah. So we have to communicate, and coaching is communication. So there are things that could be changed, but also there is a process that has to be done, because we all know that even with a huge Hall of Famer, huge player as Yao Ming, Chinese basketball did never went above quarterfinals of any of the competitions, and their focus is on qualifying for the Olympics. But I would love to go into a battle for first four positions. I would like to pass that quarterfinals. That's my goal, as always it was anywhere I worked, because I know that you know, the crucial moments and then the time of importance of quarterfinals is what gives you that next level. And then you feel like you know you're fighting for the medals, and you're, you know, ahead of everybody. And that's what I would love to make Chinese players feel, that we are as good as anybody else. But the time is needed, and the way of the playing and their roles must be like a diamond. You have to work it out, because there are not a lot of players that have the role of leaders, of decision makers, of important decision makers in the important moments of the game in their clubs. So that being said, once you transfer it to the national team, they kind of miss that little thing, which is a huge thing in the moments, but it's really, really when you have to decide a game, make a big play, big decision, because it's up to them to do it on the floor at the end. We can do X and oxes and say this and that and put the game and rules and defensive rules and that. But at the end, the player is making the last decision, and that's also something that we have to teach them since the young age. The other thing is that they're not allowed to play in the CBA before 19 years old. Their first contract is right there. So maybe sometimes we're missing some of the huge talents, like right now in a team, Qingdao, there is Hansel, under 19 kid, 213. He's a great hands, a really great talent, but this is his first year. He's 19 years old. It could have been his third year in CBA, already gaining experience, which could have left him and to, be developed.
Progress,
as much as the young players in Europe where we get our opportunities, where I'm speaking for my country, of course, not for all the countries, but where we are getting our opportunities recognized by the big coaches, and we take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Well, that was some perspective, coach, from what is going on, from some of the things that are going on in the Chinese basketball. And most of our viewers, of course, they are from Europe, they are from the USA, and they are not aware of those things. It's good to learn of those things and how differently things work in China. To return to Europe and taking...
I have to say one thing. They're
enormously
big workers. They're always there. My staff is unbelievable. They're great. I met so many great people, the people that are so willing to learn, to talk, to work. And also the players, they love, to work. Nothing is hard for them, They're spending their hours on the floor, and I think it also can be taken to the advantage of who is teaching them how to play, to change a little bit of a rules that are there, especially defensive rules.
So to return to Europe now, after this, it was truly a lesson for some of the things that are going on with China and the development. You said something that you like to, everywhere you go, you like to leave something positive, and you put the best work that you can put on that team. The last teams that you coach in Europe, Virtus and Fenerbahce, you win the Italian championship with Virtus and you are out of the team. Next year, you go to Fenerbahce. The team doesn't do well in EuroLeague, but still, you win the
team. Listen. First of all, Fenerbahce. Yeah. War in Russia.
Yes.
We were up fourth with three wins against Russian team, and all three Russian teams were supposed to come to Istanbul. Okay, we played 3 months without Jan Veseli and Ando De Colo in Fenerbahce, so we didn't play the playoffs only because of the war in Russia and nothing else. Nothing else. I'm so proud of my work in Fenerbahce. I'm so proud of the championship that came after three seasons of no winning. I'm so proud that I managed to, with my staff, to recreate the winning atmosphere that is needed to be in the teams who want to win. Because one thing is atmosphere of the winners. The other thing is the winning atmosphere that you have to create. And that's what we recreate in Fenerbahce. And they took a decision earlier than before. They didn't wait till the end.
Yeah, it was leaked away in the media that the season is over. Djordjevic is out, regardless of what is happening.
Listen, that's their decision. I accepted personally before we started to work demand of their president, of Mr. Ali Koç, that if we don't qualify for the Final Four, I believe, or for the playoffs for EuroLeague, my contract is not 3 years, but they can finish it right there after 1 year. Even though I didn't make the team, I didn't choose any of the players. I came after it. They already created.
That's very hard. Many people don't understand this, how difficult it is for a coach to undertake a team with players he didn't choose.
Listen, I only know that with every and each player, we are going to hug and as hard as we can. Once we see each other, and that's the best I can leave after my job. And I'm not saying this as a polemic. I'm not saying this that's just the world of our coaches. I'm just doing what I'm capable of. A little bit of anxiety of is always there. Medias are always there. They're always talking. They're always putting something in. News are here. News are there. Problems on the bench. Some other guys coming. Some other this, and then it's not helping the atmosphere. But that's how it is. That's how it is. That's what we have to take. But I had to underline this EuroLeague situation with Fenerbahce, because it is very important that people understand it. It is very important that people look how many Turkish young players this coach put on the floor, and also Italian, and also Greek players. In my job as head coach of Panathinaikos, you don't maybe remember, but Papayanis left after my year of coaching to the NBA to be drafted as a 13th pick. And we had players like Haralampopoulos, very young, 17, 18 years old, and Lutsos, 18 years old, Bokoridis, 19, and they are not right now playing where they're playing. And I know how we greet each other once we see each other. So that's something that, you know, talking about Paiola, maybe here in Italy, everybody can see the work we did and how we managed to repeat the smart signing of example. My way of working was, we had a Papayanis, he was not ready, but we signed two players, Radulica, who was a dominating offensively dominating five position players, and Papayanis had to play defense on him every single practice. On the other hand, Papayanis had to play offense against one of the best defensive fives in Europe in the last decade, which was Kuzmic in his primes after Panathinaikos. He also I took him to the national team. We won the medals. He went to Real Madrid and everything else. So it helped him to raise his personal level, one player as Papayanis. And the same thing, very similar, was done with Paiola. Was my decision to
with
put
Miloš.
Exactly, with Miloš Todosić and Stefan Marković. You don't understand how importance of that player, of that leadership, of that way of playing, because they're very similar characteristics, defensively oriented. They can make a big three shots. They don't look to score. They look to defend. They look to create and everything else. And how Paiola developed himself into a starter for Italian national team. Let's just say something else. So the same thing with Šemus Hazer in Fenerbahce, that was picked by, I agreed on that pick after I came in and I started to let him play. I don't see a lot of minutes lately, last year and this year, of that player, but this is definitely important that the players like him, the young players of the nation where we work, we have to consider the importance of the national team. We have to, on the one part, we have to win. Yes, it's important for the fans, for the management, for the president, for the ownership, for the way we have to win. Yes, but on the other hand, we have to develop the young players of that country that we are working in. And I'm talking always as a coach who works in a foreign country, not only as a head coach of Serbia national team, where you always have to propose young and new teams and new players and new generation that will come up after it. So that's what I have in my work. And I firmly believe it. And it can be always when I see a team of one country with 12 foreign players, I don't like it. I love when I see Real Madrid with some strong Spanish players inside for a lot of years behind. Barcelona, the same thing. I played for both teams and I know the importance of the national players, not to talk about importance of Mr. Diamantidis when he was in Panathinaikos, and the players next to him, Fotsis and all the others that the team was winning, very much thanks to that strong core of the team and that strong connection that is
yeah.
needed.
The domestic players have it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right now, Olympiakos, it's a great example. It's a great example. Papa Nicolaou.
For years, Olympiakos was about the trio of Spanoulis, Pridesis, and Papa Nicolaou were behind.
Of course, Spanoulis, yeah, not to forget 2 years ago, of course. Printed his Papa, of course. That's That's very, very. Those are examples that I always love to underline, and it are guidance in my work.
But what I wanted to ask you, because you want the question necessarily, how hard is it for you to win the championship? You are out. Next year, the same thing is happening. And especially at Fenerbahce, it was quite impressive because you beat an FS team that had just won the EuroLeague 3-1 in the finals.
It's not hard for me. It's hard to someone who comes after me. Not in my spot, or to the people who take decision. That's hard for them, because they were in a problems after that. Because it's something that you don't. I was talking to Velasco. Velasco is a, you know who Velasco, Julio Velasco, the legendary
volleyball
coach, master. And I talked to him. I'd like to pick up his brain. And he said, You won the championship. What is the coaching about? It's about winning at the end. Why they're not waiting till the end? Both teams, they did not wait till the end. They agreed with the coaches before the end of the season. And that's something that we find in our work. That's behind the job. It's very obvious that it was like that, because if they waited till the end, they could have never taken decision that they took, because the game that we played, 10-0 in playoffs with Virtus against all the in the playoffs. That never happened, I believe. Cesare, you tell me. I can't remember in a new basketball that happened like that. 10-0, 4-0 against the finals. Not having the advantage of the home court.
Of the home court.
And that Milano team was the best Milano team of since the 80s, maybe.
This is my work. This is my work. You're talking about national team. 2014 in a group, we lost 3 out of 5 games. We managed to come up. Then team, Greece had 5-0.
I know. I remember.
They played great basketball. We played them in 18 finals. Boom, won.
Still remember Kalinic's dunks.
Against Brazil, then we lost in a group by 10, 15. We killed them by 30. Against France, won in the semifinal. That's when you have to play. You have to play when the game is on the line. You don't need to play during the year. No. You play to win the titles, the medals. That's where it is important. That's where the personalities, and allow me to say it with not being falsely modest, that's the personalities that the players also put on the floor once they have the chance to show it. And that's what it's all about. That's what we coach right now.
Since we're talking about the EuroLeague, let's move to the current EuroLeague season. Real Madrid looks like they're one step ahead for everyone when it comes to the results, the quality of the basketball they play. Do you see them as favorites from now? And I'd like to know which other teams you like the most, which players perhaps you have distinguished. Maybe someone you think that he will be MVP when all is said and done?
Well, first of all, Real Madrid is doing what all the great teams are doing. They're changing less than anyone else. They took maybe the best point guard that was on the market right now, Campazzo.
Definitely.
From coming from Red Star. Then, and he was their player. And to tell you how much I think about him when I was coaching Bayern, he was playing in Murcia, and I wanted him so bad. And we wanted him so bad. No one was considering him in that moment. He was under contract with Real Madrid, that I was talking with Herreros to bring him over and to give him the team, the Bayern Munich, because I believe that's what he's showing right now, being the best point guard. They signed the best backup point guard in Europe for years behind, which is Chacho Rodriguez. You know, he accepted to be a backup. He's doing it beautifully in 12-15 minutes, doing all those LA Youp things that
he was
Milano is missing. His pick and roll game with Tarzewski a lot, or with Heinz
last year in the final, Chacho, he was the next factor for Real Madrid. He made a big shot in the end, even though, you know, he was that veteran, the guy who came from the bench. He was an X factor in the final against Olympiacos. Still,
if you allow me to talk, yes, I was about to say it, but if, as always, we have to understand the importance of their import players or foreign players, or moment when Deck was injured, and then Mario Hezonja came in to play in a position four, very tactically, very, very, very perfect for him, for his body, for his being mature in a certain way, and he was one of the big keys in that game, because they couldn't find the solution for that quick Real Madrid team. They were switching in all the positions, only with a five. They were playing a little bit of drop with Tavares dominating, and Poiré, both of them, you know, being the players that are. So Real Madrid changed not a lot with Campazzo, and Deck is back, which is playing. He's playing great, and those two Argentinian players are their character is so well known. So they brought that to Madrid, and Madrid is playing on the wings of the victory of the last year. Right now, they are so experienced. Llull is back physically. It seems like Rudy accepted his role perfectly, being a silent leader that he is. Lately, two big men are dominating, and I believe coming up in the season, teams are going to adapt better to Real Madrid a little bit. They're going to find some solutions, and that's what I expect the teams to do. Barcelona is having a steady start. Olympiacos is having a steady start. Panathinaikos slowly will come up, I believe. I see that the atmosphere is there again, which is finally a good sign with coach Ataman, and some good signings. Partizan Red Star are always a tough rock, especially in Belgrade. That's something unbelievable, unique. I don't believe there is anything like that in the world right now. With all the respect with Panathinaikos, Olympiacos, those Partizan and then Red Star are unbelievable. You know, taking advantage of the infrastructure that is very important to have as of today, saying that the gym of 20,000 people is helping a lot to create and recreate this basketball legacy and atmosphere that both teams are together with the national team are bringing up so courageously. And I believe that that's the direction of all the teams should be, you know, to build the great arenas, to present that to the fans, to the basketball fans. That's something that is really, really needed. Virtus is having a good start. Milano did not have a good start. They made some changes, kind of overloaded in some positions, in my opinion. Obviously, their playmaking situation is what it is right now, and they should have found that solution in the near future. And that's it. Fenerbahce had a tougher start than last year. They had really a great win against Real Madrid. That was something unbelievable. It's only in basketball can happen. But trust me, I coached the China national team in semifinals against Philippines. Something similar happened. Only in the last second they scored the in the last 20 seconds the winning shot. We missed the last shot, and we were winning by 20 in the halftime, just to say how basketball is. So I'm missing Russian teams. I have to be honest. I'm missing CSKA in EuroLeague a lot. Also Unix and Zenit, of course, because they did something. They did some good stuff lately. And but some new realities came up, like Monaco, which is the second year in a row with Coach Obradovic, my friend, doing a really good and playing good basketball. A lot of athletes, a lot of physical impact to the game, and it's a very, very interesting year, I would say. I don't want to predict anything because I'm not good in that. Like old Dalton Peterson is saying, you know, he's always making a mistake about it. So I'm not good at it, but you know, it's a good basketball. It's a lot of good basketball, a lot of good players, good teams, and you know, they're very close. Like I believe from fourth till 15th position. It's like two victories. It's a difference. Maybe even in this week with a double double header, with a double game, it can be changed drastically. So trust me, I know how it happened when last year EuroLeague took the victories from us once the Russian-Ukraine conflict started, and it was impossible for 3 weeks to see the reaction of the players. They were so down that it was unbelievable. So everything can happen, but hopefully it can happen on the court, on the sport field.
So you talked about Milano, a special team for you. Of course, you played there, you coached there, you coached against Milano when you were in Virtus. Ettore Messina is the one who's getting this season, especially the most blame from media, from players sometimes. Mike James, for example, criticized him for his rotation.
Mike James.
Mike James is not playing for him.
No. I mean,
I'm asking, please, players, be smart. Keep your voice down. We are talking about Ettore Messina, one of the best coaches ever. So he'll find a way to raise this Milano up. I'm 100% sure. And I don't like the other players putting their noses into some other people's businesses. It's not how it works. You just, in my opinion, I don't follow it that closely as you guys do, and I don't want to. Of course, Mike James is one of the best players right now, and you know, he can do whatever he wants. But I don't like. I like to look in the plate that I'm eating from, in my own plate. I don't like to look in the plate of the others.
Yeah, I was about to ask you if you believe it was fair or not to put the blame on Coach Messina for what's the situation right now in Milano.
Almost exclusively at Ettore Messina.
No, but you cannot, guys. Ettore Messina won the last two championships with Milan, right? And some Super Cups, and he was close to go to the finals 3 years ago in Final Four, and that's just in the last 2-3 years, right? So what about everything he did? So it's too easy just to put a, you know, finger into someone else. It's someone else in a position of a head coach. It's too easy. That game, I don't like that game. You win and you lose together, and everybody has a responsibility for good results, and everybody has a responsibility for a bad results. What I like to say always, when you point fingers, you have three of them towards yourself. So that's just, you know, a little bit of esame di coscienza. How do you say? Exam of
translate.
Exam of conscience.
Self-conscious.
If you're stepping on the floor, please.
Just... From one legendary coach to another, Zeljko Obradovic and Partizan, last year, they are up to 2-0 at Real Madrid. Everyone believes that, wow, they're going to sweep the series. And then this brawl happens. Everything is turned upside down. Players missing from one side. Players missing from one side, and they don't make the Final Four. Do you think that Partizan with Zeljko Obradovic will make the Final Four this year, next year, eventually?
That's obviously their goal, and it should be. Partizan is a huge European club with the best legendary coach, with the best coach, and it should be their goal for sure. If they can make it, I would be the happiest one if they make it. I was very sad that they didn't make it. They deserved to do it, but the mistake was made the mistake was everybody has I call it individual responsibility, and players are play to play, coaches to coach, and fans to do the fans. And you have to play. There is no place for fighting, for losing your head in a moment of possible glory for yourself personally and for the club that is paying you a lot and for everybody else that is working for you to put your game on the floor. What do you think? You know, all the games that all the big players were playing, they were not... provocations and elbows and hard fouls and everything else. So everybody should have, Galis should have reacted all the time when we came to him and hit him all the time intentionally. He should hit us back. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Fight in a moment like this? It's completely responsibility of the players who were on the floor. And that's it.
To keep your cool,
that's
yeah.
That's it. And plus, the situation that was in Belgrade before the fourth game with the killing of those kids, unfortunate kids. Yes, I was the one who said that it should not have been played, the game, the fourth game, due to respect to the families and to the late kids and to the situation, to the city, to the nation that was really suffering. But decision was taken. They wanted to play, but no one was himself. Everybody was crying on the stands. Everybody was crying on the court, and the game was not played in the right conditions for the athletes. You know what I mean? And
their hearts were not into place for the game.
Yeah, that was very, very hard. It was very hard for emotionally. That was very hard, and you have to play with your head cold, peace in your mind and fire in your heart, and it was everything but not peace in your mind, and I didn't even watch that game. It was very hard when I, you know, the start and everything. And obviously Real Madrid experienced it. They took advantage of that momentum, and they just played their, you know, good game. They deserved to go to the finals. At the end, they won. But that's basketball.
Yeah. And talking about Serbian clubs, we wanted to touch also on the Serbian national team, which ended the FIBA World Cup a second silver medal, a success. But considering the fact that also for what you were saying before, talking about the Chinese national team at the level of global basketball, which is changing with the USA not making it to the final once again, unlike in 2014 or
not
in
finals,
the Olympics.
Not in the first four.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Not making to the podium, yeah.
Do you consider that as a missed opportunity in a way for the gold?
Because unlike, for example, you faced two powerful USA teams in the Olympics and the World Cup in the final.
Yeah.
And this time there wasn't such an opponent in the final.
Well, listen, Germany. We played against Germany in a tournament in Hamburg as China. And my players were astonished. They said they're so physical. They were one speed more. We lost by 40, 50, something like that. And there you could see that Coach Gordy was doing a great job with them. And the players were so fired up, focused, locked in. Their leader, Schroeder, was unbelievable the whole summer. And you could see that they played for that. They played for the win. So you have to give credit to the winning team. You cannot always talk about the you know what you missed or the this and that. You have to give the credit to the winning team and say Germany was the best team. Congratulations. Serbia played great basketball, really good. They had a great leader in Bogdanovic. And trust me, I'm telling you, when you have that kid on the floor, things are easier because his way of understanding and playing and practicing basketball is so, it's great. It's great. And you could see that they had a great chemistry. Milutinov stepped up really big. At the end, not all of the players had their best game in the finals, which is normal.
And Dobrić injury.
Germany just took the gold. You know that they were ready. They were ready. They just wanted it. They were playing. And I think that a year before in the EuroLeague in your Euro basket in Germany when Germany won the bronze, losing in the semifinals, really tight game. I believe it was against Spain. It really took the chip out of their shoulder. You know they finally got a medal. That bronze gave them the belief that they can do it. And, you know, together with Schroeder and Wagner brothers, they were unstoppable.
Yeah, these three guys, these two brothers basically seem danger for the future. I mean, yeah. they're so young and they have the complete package. Speaking of Serbia, of course, had absences. They didn't have Jokic and they didn't have Micic, which... In my eyes, at least, if we say that Jokic is the best Serbian player right now, Bogi is second, then Vasa is third, perhaps. If we made such a ranking, maybe. Now, Vasa
You know, it depends. It depends yeah. of what you throw on the floor, or how you create the game, how the other players embrace the possibility and the option to express their greatness. You know, it's not just once happened that for some reason you don't have your best players in one game or in a competition or in the playoffs or whatever, and the others take over. And trust me, I learned that playing for Coach Aito in Barcelona, where I came back from NBA, and I'm used to play 30, 35 minutes, scoring 25, 30, this, dominating, coming back from the 96 Olympics, also with a silver medal and everything. Coach Aito would not play me a lot of minutes, some games, you know, and I said, Coach, I can give more. Why don't you, I can score more. I can score 20, 25, 30. He said, no, Sasha, no need. Menos es más, you know, menos es más. Less is more, less is more. I said, Coach, well, I never heard. Well, what is that? What is that? So I came to talk to Steve Trumbo, who was assistant coach. He said, go and talk to Aito. He will tell you. Then I talked to the coach. I said, explain to me. And he said, listen, Sasha, if we are used to play you more than 30 minutes and you score 25 points, 30 every game, further up we go to the playoffs and to the finals, we will play better teams that can defend you better. And you would not be able to score that 25, 30 anymore. You can score 12, 14. And if the team is not ready to take over what you leave or what you left, if they're not ready, we don't have the chance to win. And we are the club that wants to win the titles. That's what we are built for. And I said, beautifully said. And this is something that I now, I'm coaching, I'm practicing. That it's one of the leading points in my coaching approach, because it is truth. You have to be capable of okay, I don't play this game. I don't know. I always give this example. You know, we played Greece in 95 European Championship. We played the semifinals, and I can't remember, but I don't believe I scored more than 8 points in that game because other players took it over. You understand? That was Danilovic. That was then in the finals. I scored 41 points, and everybody's talking about that 9 out of 12. Yeah. 41. Yes, I said yes.
3 point rain.
yes, but. In the semifinals, it was not me. It was someone else. And in the quarterfinals, someone else. And that was the strength of the good team who at the end wins the medals or titles.
I'm smiling because I remember an interview you made it at halftime during a game of Fenerbahce. They ask you, does it worry you that Van Vesely scored 20 out of your team's 40 points? And you say, no, I hope he scores 20 in the second half as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, you mentioned the guy that we won a game in Zenit, in St. Petersburg.
Yep,
and he scored 32, and we were on a you know passport control going out of ice, and Jan was behind me, and I was watching the stats with my assistant coach, and I turned and I saw Jan. I said, Jan, what is your career high? And he goes, yesterday, coach, 32. I said, you're welcome. And he was laughing.
Yeah,
you just take what is there. You have to read the game.
Yes.
You're not kind.
Speaking about Vasa and the NBA, he joined the NBA. Everyone was expecting him to do that for years. Now he's at the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he's not actually playing 8 games out of 19. If I was correct in my calculations, he hasn't played since November 23, not because of an injury, because coach decision. The box score always says coach decision. There are already some comments that maybe he should come back, which I don't see it happening. I mean, I don't see him just coming back like that. Whether he took the right decision to go to the NBA and whether the Thunder are actually a good fit for him because of the way they are built. What do you think about
that? You're talking to an ex-player. Ex-player who at the age of 29 decided to take finally the offer of the NBA. I had the offer.
He's 29 when he was in the NBA.
Yeah. So you don't have the same patience as when you're 24 and you go there. to wait for your chance. That's one thing that because you're used to dominate, you used to play, you used to, you know, win games, win titles, win championships, play Final Fours and everything. And all of a sudden you have to adapt yourself into a role player. And not always, not every game. It's not easy. Mentally, it's not easy. And I don't think it's easy for him. But, you know, he's a professional. Everybody has their own desires, but also responsibility towards the contract that you signed, towards the people who expect something from you. So it's always two-way street, what you wish and what you're getting from. So you have to be able to give back the best you can. Speculations are always there. Their market will be open soon, and we will see. I don't know what his thinking is. If he has a quality, of course, to be there, yes, one of the best guards lately coming from EuroLeague, from Serbia, and that was his dream. So he knows what he's doing.
You gave me the pass again. You and the NBA, for most of the younger people, it's a mystery. I found a report that plainly says Saša Đorđević was unhappy with his lack of playing time, and that stint with the Blazers ended. What was the case? What happened back then? That's the case. Simple thing.
I love basketball. I love playing basketball. I love decision making. I love responsibility. I love to put on my shoulders the game itself. I love to make my teammates better. And coming from playing the finals and this and that and medals and blah blah blah, and you come at the age of 29, exactly the story that I told you. And then we played a game in Denver. I remember after 6 minutes of playing time, I touched the ball two times, scored one layup, had one assist. You know, so after 6 minutes, I was on the bench and everybody was like, "Great job, Sash, great job." I was like, "Great job, what?" You know, the game was finished. I pick up my phone. I said to my agent, "Listen, I want to play. Find me the team. That's it. So the offer of Barcelona came up because Barcelona at that moment was struggling in a championship in Spain and in EuroLeague. They're about to be kicked out in that early stage. And before the Christmas, I believe on the day of Christmas, I signed for Barcelona. I was so happy to go there. I was really, really fired up, and beautiful time of my life. It was achievement for me, to come back and play for Barcelona. That was a great, great thing. And as soon as that offer was there, I just accepted it, and that's it.
No regrets then?
Absolutely not. I regret only for the things that I haven't done, not for the things that I've done.
Yeah.
All right.
And coach, we would like to wrap it up talking a little bit about future faces, future players. And talking about Serbia more particularly, the name of Nikola Jovic comes out.
Yes.
He had a great tournament in the Philippines.
Unbelievable.
Glimpses.
20
years old. Do you believe he's going to be the face of Serbia in the future? Do you have any
Absolutely.
Other names
he's
in mind?
Already, I think.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Already.
Wow.
I was impressed by him, by his way of playing the game. Him being in Miami obviously helped him a lot, because what they write on their jerseys, heat culture, and I heard a lot about it, and I know what it's all about. It's about work, hard work, extra work and everything, respecting the guy next to you, respecting your minutes, the club, the everything, and he really brought that to the team. He embraced the role. The role was so perfectly knit for him in our team. We had a depth with Milutinov and his low post game that we were feeding him in a low post a lot, and Jovic could have run the fast break, run the lane, and have this a lot of spacing to open up the floor with his 3-point shot that he really did. But what impressed me the most, his running, and he's in five steps he would just go be on the other side of the off the floor, just scoring, laying very up, fast. You know, making it easy. And those baskets, those easy baskets, are facilitators towards the security of all the team, towards being, having the advantage and playing the good game, because those are the precious, you know, transition or even just the fast break points are the most important in a competitions like World Cup or European Championship, because it gives you the advantage early, and then you can manage the minutes. You don't have to play point by point game like in the finals. You don't have to spend your nerves and your physical energy all the time. And his future is very bright for him. Really, I'm so happy for him, and he really did great.
Yeah. Okay, from Jokic to Jovic, that's going to be the story for Serbia in the future.
From
Jokic to Jovic.
Well, I believe Joka is going to be back. You know, his head is what he is. A great guy. He's an unbelievable player. Unbelievable. One of the best in the history. One of the best in the history of basketball. It's not right now. He's dominating that league with such. It's unbelievable. It's really
so easy. He makes it look easy.
Because we always underline togetherness. Togetherness comes from being unselfish. And in his life, and in his way of understanding basketball, he is the most unselfish player ever. Like the guards. You know, he just loves to play for the others. The others believe in his passing. He's developing the other player's game. Everybody around him is better. He's just, you know, having triple doubles on that position and playing like that and playing. It's unexplainable. It's really great, great. It's going to be, it's wonderful to have him. Wonderful to coach him. I had a chance to coach him in a young age, and then 3 years after that in the World
Olympics,
Cup,
it was his debut.
Olympics and in the World Cup. In the World Cup, it was tougher for him because everybody was against him, especially, you know, the Spanish guys and Argentinians. You know, it was very, very tough, but he grew up so much.
Coach, I don't know about you, Cesare, but I learned so many things today, and this is a joy for me when I talk to someone like you with your experience and your expertise on basketball. It's not only about we want to make headlines. I won't deny that. We want to get those titles, but we also like to learn things and get an extra insight on everything basketball. And that's what I got today, at least from this conversation. I'd like to thank you for that, first and foremost.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's always nice to have the opportunity to say something, some beliefs that we have or we share between us, between coaches, between basketball people. But, you know, it's always nice to have the opportunity to speak up and speak your mind.
I fully agree with you, Antonis. Yeah, same.
Yeah, it was great, especially about things that, as I said before, many people don't know so much, like the China situation and how are things here. And many people, and this is a question, for example, we ask you this question about China because many people are wondering. And these are questions we believe that they should be answered, at least. Anyway, so that's a wrap for today for this episode of the Eurohoop Pod. As always, you can find us on YouTube, on Spotify, and several other platforms. From Cesare Milati, farewell Cesare, and from Coach Sasha Georgievich, obviously, thank you, Coach, again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you, guys.
And Antonis Strogilakis, see you next week. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
See you.